from the North Virginia suburbs, and near Philly do they ride. One, he has a goatee and a six string by his side. The other packs a keyboard and sarcasm finely honed. The two men ride together into the great unknown. They are not seeking justice, they've got no wrongs to right. They're just here to sing some dick jokes and head off into the night. In rental vans and airplanes, they travel across the land. With songs of nuns and pirates, they are the opening band. Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm.
La 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 la. Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm,
Paul and Storm.
Please no flash photography of Paul and Storm.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 151, Paul and Storm.
Opening band. We are here to do five or six or seven songs. Don't go too long and get the hell off the stage. We are the opening band. We're probably not the band you came to see tonight, but it's all right, 'cause soon we'll go away.
Paul and Storm are a comedy folk rock duo. Actually, it's not clear exactly what genre they are, as you'll see. But they tour and perform and burn up the interwebs with their music and CDs and podcasts and blogs and tweets. We've been fans of Paul and Storm for a couple of years now, and you heard their song Mother's Day on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast back in May. But Paul and Storm just produced, with a couple of famous friends, their first version 1.1, the beta, if you will, of Wootstock, the music and comedy concert celebration of all things geek. I saw the concert and met Paul and Storm at Hollywood's oldest restaurant, the Musso and Frank Grill, established 1919. And I started by asking Storm to clear up the mystery of his name.
We spent 6 hours in traffic on the highway for 50 bucks and half price on the cheese fries and free Miller Lite on tap. Who can drink that crap?
Let me clarify this first. Is that your real name, or is that like a thing like Slash or like The Edge? You're the guitarist, so you have to have the cool name.
It's very edgy. Much like that. It's not the name I was deeded with at birth, but it has become essentially my name. My wife calls me Storm and always has, so that's okay. Sort of the dividing line.
I've been referring to you guys as a geek rock duo. Is that accurate? I heard you guys say last night at the fantastic Wootstock, which we'll talk about later, that you were a novelty rock duo. What's the difference? How do you guys say?
I think we should go with geek rock.
Geek rock.
I like
certain,
that.
It has better
edge to it.
Sort of lame names for our genre go, that's better, I think, than... I mean, novelty was really just for the laugh.
Sure.
But yeah, I'd say geek rock duo. We, you know, or comedy music,
geek rock.
Comedy geek rock, original music, folk.
A lot of hyphens are happening here.
Yeah, there's a few slashes in there along with the hyphens.
But I think of you guys as different than Weird Al Yankovic, who does mostly parodies with some original stuff, but more like descendants of, well, Tom Lehrer.
Very much.
Absolutely.
But then also, I think of you guys in the sort of the same breath as the They Might Be Giants and Bare Naked Ladies and Fountains of Wayne.
I would thank you for that. Those are a lot of our big influences. But like musically, we feel like we do have, if you strip out the lyrics and put in real lyrics, not funny lyrics, that you have something there still.
Will she be friendly, or will she break free? Will she terrorize the villagers? Will she notice me? Hard work and science are what I have to give, and all I'm asking in return is that you live.
Generally, what we aim for the most part, is to write original songs that happen to be funny as well.
And you frequently tour with and support and act as a backup band to the famous internet, also geek rock soloist, Jonathan Colton.
Yes.
A, how did that come about? And B, what is your relationship? I mean, I think of you guys, last night as I was watching, I was thinking, you guys are kind of the band to Jonathan Colton's Dylan.
Right.
Is that about right?
That's dead on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dead on.
We stalked Colton on the internet. We had, it was around almost 5 years ago, I think, at this point. We had been in an a cappella band for about 12 years called Da Vinci's Notebook, which had just stopped performing, and Storm and I decided to try and continue as a duo.
Uh-huh.
And we had not performed much yet as a duo. We were still busy trying to learn our instruments well enough to not embarrass ourselves. And we happened across, through John Hodgman's website, he did a thing, the 700 Hobo Names list. And Jonathan Colton, who was old friends with him, was playing underneath that. It was 40 minutes of Hobo Names, and Jonathan played the Big Rock Candy Mountain on guitar for 40 minutes straight underneath it. And we were impressed enough that we sort of followed the link, and Jonathan had just started doing his Thing a Week thing, which had just started exploding. And we just contacted him through his website because we were looking for other people to perform with. And we just sort of, you know, it was early enough that he wasn't famous enough, or at least didn't realize how famous he had gotten yet. And we just said, you know, hey, this is us. We like your stuff. We would love to.
So he didn't reject you out of hand.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
As he would probably do now.
He was still only a little creeped. The flattery overwhelmed the creeped.
Got it.
And we just said, you know, we like your stuff. Here's us. You know, we think it would be kind of fun to perform with you. I'd be interested. And he had not started performing live much at all at that point.
Didn't even know if he was going to perform live.
Okay. Yeah. And so he started to take a chance, and it was a very nice mix. And as we have said in the past, that's sort of what we feel like we brought to the table, was we had a whole lot of experience touring as a live act, and we sort of took him as a young Padawan under our wing in that respect, and he very quickly eclipsed us as far as popularity and people coming to see him versus coming to see us.
In fact, when we first started touring, some shows we would open, some shows he would open, but by the second or third go-around, it was pretty clear which was the opening act.
Yeah.
Who's back and who.
Yeah, and that was perfectly fine, but, you know, we sort of, you know, he says that we sort of helped teach him how to plan tours and perform live, and we just, you know, hang along on his coattails and gather up his fan base into our own and come out and support him during his shows. And it's been a very nice sort of symbiotic relationship.
Cool. And on stage, it's a lot of fun. All three of us, me and Paul and Jonathan, all did a cappella groups since way back in college.
Okay.
And that's one thing that, you know, you really do miss, having sung a cappella.
Right.
And so we all get to enjoy doing that on stage, and it's something the audience enjoys. And then performance-wise, during his set, we'll come out usually a half or a third of the way through and do like a set with him where we do harmonies and some basic percussion stuff. And it just allows him to change up what he's doing.
So you basically made him what he is.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and take credit.
You know, we weren't going to say it that way, but now that you have thrown down the gauntlet.
It's pretty obvious.
Totally made him.
So you guys met doing Da Vinci's Notebook. Is that how long you guys know each other? Since college? Where was that?
Just out of college.
Okay.
So I guess, Paul, you had been in grad school and graduated from that.
Okay.
And we were all just doing regular day gig type stuff, actually career type stuff.
Right.
And this band formed. It was a hobby for a while and ended up blowing up into a full-time professional gig.
Just like the Redux Shakespeare Company started.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, geek moment.
Yes.
We are huge, huge fans of Redux Shakespeare Company. There's a very long story you may have told, but like we, 10 years ago, you guys did a residency thing at the Kennedy Center with Complete History of America, and we went to see it and loved it so much, we started contacting you. This was in the very early days of the internet. We trying to like make you cookies to get free tickets to come see it again and again and bring friends. And now here we are, 10 years later,
sitting in this booth being interviewed by you.
Yeah,
that is very cool.
The world is weird, but yes, I mean this is just like a mutual geekgasm, I guess, here, because
it is a nerdgasm for sure. Well, then I guess that means that the Redux Shakespeare Company can take credit for Jonathan Colton.
Yes,
go ahead and we'll go with that
by the transitive property.
Say that.
Ladies
Ladies and gentlemen, we present our title bout for the evening. In this corner, weighing in at 114 pounds, by way of the Sisters of Our Lady of the Immaculate Right Cross, with a record of 23-1, with 15 knockouts, 3 TKOs, 2 decisions, 3 conversions, and 1 exorcism. The High Priestess of Penance, the Pounding Penguin, the Assassin of the Passion, the Stinging Nun, and the Roman Catholic Wrecking Ball. From Dublin, Ireland, Sister Mary Catherine, the Habit Breaker in Violata.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton. I know, I can't believe it either. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Our autumn 2009 tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised continues all this week at the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, then continues on to Duke, East Carolina University, the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California, and ends up for 3 weeks in Madison, Wisconsin in December. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information. And now back to Paul and Storm, who noticed that the great composer Randy Newman writes music for so many movies. There's really not a movie around that could not be improved by a song from Randy Newman. So here's their version of Randy Newman's Passion of the Christ.
Running round Jerusalem town, them nasty Romans trying to keep you down. Got no shoes, but hey, good news, one day you're gonna be the king of the Jews. Crucifixion was a rough way to go, but Mel Gibson made a whole lot of dough. Nobody believed that he could win. Go, Jesus, go. Up he goes. You, my friend. Go, Passion of the Christ, go. You got a reason to live. I'm going to hell, ain't I?
Talking about pop culture, talking about the zeitgeist, you guys are now sort of getting in on the ground floor of creating your own sort of thing, this thing called Woodstock, which, if I'm understanding it correctly, based on how you described it last night, it's a phenomenal concert celebrating all things geek, and you guys started it, and this was just the first year of it. Well, tell me more about it, and how did it go, and what's for the future?
Yeah, somebody called us impresarios, and I really like that, because that's what I feel like.
I'm feeling impresari.
Yeah. We just, as we'd said at the concert, we had wanted to do some West Coast dates, and we weren't quite confident as to whether or not we'd be able to draw enough people out on our own. So we were trying to figure out people we might be able to co-bill with or do a performance with. And we'd started getting friendly with Will Wheaton. Mm-hmm. And
mostly over Twitter.
Yeah,
right. Sort of this Twitter network of people where you have friends that you meet on Twitter.
And, well, and Will Wheaton is famously Wesley Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation and also other movies, Stand By Me, etc., and a big geek and a big Twitter proponent. He was out there on the early
Yeah, he's very popular. He was one of the original bloggers.
Yeah.
And he's very, very popular with a specific demographic. And parallel to that, we were also friendly with Adam Savage, again, directly through Twitter.
One of the hosts of Mythbusters on
yes.
The Discovery.
Yes, and we called Will and said, would you be interested in, you know, doing something with us? And he said, absolutely, I had been thinking about the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, let's really try and make something out of this. Let's see. Let's make it a thing. Mm-hmm. Let's see if Adam might be interested in swinging by, because we've seen some presentations he had done on YouTube, and he's a very
engaging geeky, thoughtful type of presentation.
Sort of obsessive and just really a great presence. And we asked him, and he said without a hesitation, absolutely, I would love to do something like that. And that just started the ball rolling. And it started growing, and we said, let's bring in some special guests and make a true event out of this thing. And here we are, three shows later, and it was a huge success.
And you did two shows in San Francisco, one show in L.A. Was there a reason why you did more shows in San Francisco than L.A.? Is San Francisco more geeky?
It was actually because we announced it just on Twitter, and within a week, the show sold out. So we decided, let's do two. Sales didn't pick up quite as much for L.A. It was a nearly sold-out show, but just San Francisco, for some reason, just bought it from the word go.
San Francisco is a particularly geeky market.
Right.
I guess you got Silicon Valley and such up there. And Los Angeles is always a tougher nut to crack, live music attendance-wise, for some reason we've found. But nonetheless, they were all great. Wonderful crowds.
Maybe we'll do a film version of Woodstock for L.A.
Ooh,
that'll
maybe
bring them out.
Or a reality series, reality-based competition series.
That's a fantastic idea. Well, and as Will Wheaton described it last night, this Woodstock is still in beta. You had version 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3. You know.
But I'd say we knew we were going to have the three acts as the anchors and special guests and wanted to have a wide variety from across the geek spectrum.
Right.
You know, maybe something representing technology and maybe some sketch comedy, maybe some sort of break-it-down presentation type stuff
right. And
short videos. And everything worked, which gives us this dilemma of, okay, we can't cross anything off the list at this point.
Right.
But it's very exciting going forward to be able to bring different type of acts. I don't know, reduced Shakespeare type of acts.
Yeah, something
huge. Interesting.
Maybe we'll talk after the recorder is up about legal matters and business relationships.
But that's another thing, too, business aspects of it. You guys are the entrepreneurs and the producers. You are the Paul and Storm organization. What are the economics of a concert like this? Because I know how the RSC is booked. A venue pays us a fee and we show up. What happens with you guys? How do you say, hey, Will, you're going to be in, we'll give you $10 and a couple of beers. What's
this one, actually, being the first time around, we knew it was probably going to have to be, we're just going to get a straight percentage of the door.
And also, it is all three, us, Will, and Adam, we are all three partners in Woodstock.
Yeah, I mean, I think we started the ball rolling ourselves and were the sort of de facto people that ran it just because somebody had to.
Sure.
But everybody was very active input-wise and such.
And it was good timing in that Will had also been thinking of doing this sort of thing. It's a nice triple play.
But that being said, it was just, you know, everybody cared enough about it and thought it was a good enough idea. We just, you know, we knew we were all taking a chance. And we said, we'll take a certain percentage on the door. This is what we might make depending on how many tickets
we
sell.
Right.
And that's how it went.
And like your expenses, the flying to the various cities, the car rental, is that taken out of the door? Is that a business or is that individual, up to each individual?
Right now it's individual, and this was just sort of an experiment. Let's see how it goes. It's gone 100 billion times past expectations, so at this point we actually have to sort of figure that out.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
But hopefully, we'll be able to put it into decent sized venues. Maybe get Apple to sponsor it.
Ooh.
If you're listening, Apple.
Ooh. I'm sure they're not, but that's cool.
Is it Fred Apple, I believe.
Yes, I was referring to Fred Apple, who
or Fiona Apple also, if she would like to get in on the ground floor, she's more than welcome.
Well, Fred, I know, has a lot of time on his hands, but Fiona, are there other geeky cities that you can take? Geeky centers of geekdom that you can take Woodstock?
Absolutely. I mean, just immediately off the top of our head, there's a list of like 6 to 10 cities we know we could do standing on our head.
Just in this country.
And others too. Touring with Jonathan, we've been doing this for 3 or 4 years with Jonathan, and we know, based mostly on the draw of the different cities, what the hot spots are.
A reasonably similar demographic.
Right.
We can figure on how many people would attend, and there's absolutely lots of places we'd like to take this.
Well, and speaking of the further Paul and Storm world domination, you guys are about to head off to the UK in mid-November-ish.
Yes, we are. Another tour with Jonathan Colton. They're going to Dublin,
Edinburgh, Glasgow. Manchester, London, and Bristol, which is not far from Stonehenge. So we are very excited about that.
Stonehenge.
It's bigger than it is in the movie, just so you know.
Is it? Oh, I was afraid I was going to trod upon it.
Is this a full-time job for you guys now?
Pretty much.
Yeah. We've each do sort of occasional freelancy type stuff.
During the slow months.
Yeah, just to keep ourselves busy and to keep ourselves in the lifestyle we've become accustomed to. But we'll see what happens with Woodstock and some other. You know, you always keep a lot of different things on the fire, and if they all boil over, we'll see.
Cool. Well, and what's the best way to follow you guys? Obviously on Twitter, but you also have a website, paulandstorm.com.
Yeah, there's Paul and Storm on Twitter, paulandstorm.com on the website. We have a mailing list you can sign up on the website where we'll always let you know, our schedule comes up about once a month.
And what's the most outrageous, destructive rock and roll thing you guys have done so far?
We're so milquetoast.
We saved a kitten.
Yes.
We saved a stray kitten at 1 in the morning in, I think it was Madison, Wisconsin. We pulled in after a show and heard this teeny little mew from underneath a car near us as we were walking in from the parking lot, and there was this adorable little kitten.
We named him Thurman after the character in
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Thurman Merman. Yeah. So we brought him in, and it just so happened one of the people working the desk had a friend who worked at the SPCA and was willing to take them after she got her off her shift. So we took the kitten into the room with us, got a little box, shredded some newspaper,
set out some cream for the little kitten to drink, which it did, and we hadn't considered the fact that if you feed a cat milk that it needs to.
Yeah, we woke up and this cat had pretty much shit all over the entire room, including us
our heads. Yes.
Well, thank God. At least you guys have destroyed a hotel room.
Yes,
no kitten power. Yes, we did.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. You heard the songs Paul and Storm Theme, Opening Band, Live, Randy Newman's Passion of the Christ, and Nun Fight. Their upcoming Irish and UK tour begins in Dublin on November 6th. You can find Paul and Storm's entire oeuvre and tour schedule at paulandstorm.com. Send us your geek rock songs via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, pirate slang enforcer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and this week by Paul and Storm. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Austin Martin, a real person who, if it hadn't been for him, Matt Rippey would not have been able to check into the fabulous Days Inn in Meadville, Pennsylvania. It's a very long story, and someday we'll tell it. Special thanks to Will Wheaton. You can follow Will on Twitter at twitter.com/WILW and read his blog at willwheaton.typepad.com. Also thanks to Paul and Storm for the great time and for their moving yet strangely haunting closing song, The Captain's Wife's Lament. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 151/453 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The ship sailed into harbor after 15 months at sea. The captain hit the tavern with his crew of 53. After drinking up their pay, they staggered through the town. But all the inns and public houses turned the sailors down. The captain said, "Fear not, me lads, you all can come with me. I live just round the corner, and you all can stay for free." But when the captain's wife awoke upon the break of day, they say that you could hear her wailing clear to Botany Bay.
Arr!
She said, "There's semen all around the bed and semen on the floor. Semen in the bathroom and behind the closet door. There's semen in the fireplace and semen in the hall. The living room is carpeted with semen wall to wall. There's semen in the entryway and semen on the stair. And worst of all, there's even semen in me underwear. There's some behind the larder and beneath the table.
I do believe your seamen got into me, Irish stew. There's seamen here in front of me and seamen in the rear. My God, there's even seamen hanging from the chandelier. There's seamen on the windowsill and seamen in the yard. The seamen even left a stain upon the St. Bernard. Although I am a patient wife, 'tis more than I can bear to wake up in the morning with your seamen in my hair. I ne'er again do wish to see thee darken up my door. So clean up all your semen and come round my way no more. So clean up all your semen and come round my way no more.
Yeah! This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.